Our guest today playing live is Motion Worker. Not to be confusing, but Motion Worker is the name of the DJ and musician Adam Dorn, whose music has evolved from drum and bass DJing to heavy house music phase and to his current delightful mix of jazz and beats and increasingly live musicians. Today, in the live portion of things, you'll hear a little of things that are fired by a sample on a computer. Before we hit the stage and you hit the dance floor, I sit down and talk with Adam about his craft and his move towards live music, or even live music that sounds like it is a sample.
I'm lucky to have great guests on the albums, and I have more playing on the albums than people think. But there's that difference between maybe going out on the road and DJing and being this musician, and, you know, like this electronic music world where you go out and sort of use samplers and maybe have a pared down show. There's nothing compared to just playing with people. You know what I mean? Humans want to come out and see a band on stage stretch and play these songs and like really interact with each other and put on a real show. So now, yeah, I'm totally excited about the fact that, you know, I get to have six, sometimes seven, you know, musicians on stage playing these songs. And it's not just, you know, one guy bobbing his head up and down and, wow, you're a great DJ. It's like, well, that's not nearly as much fun. You know?
If people first got to know you as Motion Worker when the first albums, which were much more drum and bass, they may not know that you originally were a bass player.
Yeah.
And you are today.
Yes. Yes. I was actually a bass player and a studio bass player for years. I mean, I've played with so many different artists, and that's how I got my start. And actually, the Motion Worker thing was born out of the fact that, you know, the studio musician world started getting smaller and smaller in around the mid-90s. And even though I was really busy and that's exclusively what I did, I kind of saw the sort of door closing on that form of a career. So I started writing my own music and producing stuff as opposed to just working for other people. Like, so, you know, I spent about 10, 12 years just playing on albums and touring with other, you know, with pop stars. And, you know, so to be able to have a band again and play, it's kind of funny because all the guys in the band are like, you know, the drummer, Zach, for example, Zach Danziger, the drummer in the band, like, you know, he's like, man, you haven't played bass in like 10 years. And it's like, must be a trip to now have a band, you know, like, and play. And it is, you know, but, you know, it's interesting. I'm finding out that it's not so simple. You don't just pick it back up and play like it was 10 years ago. So it's definitely, you know, it's a great feeling to just be on stage with humans. You know?
Well, I'm also interested in that relationship to the audience that you develop being a DJ and playing for people dancing.
Yeah.
And if there's anything that you learn from that that kind of informs what you do live?
A little bit. I'd say that, you know, it's weird. The two worlds don't really meet up that often. So what I learned from the DJ world is that, you know, you just got to you got to keep them dancing and you got to keep it seamless and smooth. But the live music thing is like, you can do so much. I mean, you have so much more control and flexibility over how you keep them dancing. And there's a component of the live show with the band where the musicianship is so high that I can just stop playing. I can start talking to the audience. I can, you know, it's more personal. You know, the DJ thing is, it is what it is. And also I find that the DJ world is like, you're basically playing to a certain demographic when you DJ. You know, it's mostly, you know, early 20 to late 20 somethings. To me, it's like, if I can trade between the two worlds, it's not even a question. You know, I mean, I much rather play for a vast, you know, like an audience that's like all ages and all, you know, backgrounds, as opposed to like a 23-year-old that's full of, you know, God knows what booze or, you know, illicit materials. You know, it's a different world, you know.
Well, this album, Cinco de Mayo, and the last one, End of the Mayo, seem of a piece to me stylistically. It seems to me that you've kind of come to something that's yours.
Yeah.
Was that kind of a relief in a way?
Total relief. I mean, and the bigger relief is the fact that the you know, the last record, End of the Mayo, it struck a chord. It definitely, like, it, you know, there's an interesting story with that record. You know, I was signed to a label that basically just dropped me and said, this record will do nothing. We have no interest in it. And then it sold basically four times what the preceding three records had done. So it was like, not only have I found my style, but now I was forced to self-release the record. So it's great. You know, Cinco de Mayo, yeah, it's an extension of Enter the Mayo. I found like I found what it is that I like to do. And luckily with the success of the last record, not only did I find my style, but now I have the ability to have a band with me and like build on that and go into different markets and play and like put on shows. This is what I've grown into. And, you know, I'm really into this style of music and the freedom it gives me.
Well, what you do, we should probably kind of explain to people, because I tell you, I listened to a lot of this and I had a lot of it wrong, because particularly on like we'll hear Shake Your Boogie coming up, a live version of that in a bit. My whole vision of this song was, wow, listen to how that cool decay on those old samples and what he's done with that. Mm. But that's not what it is. It's well, live playing.
There's live playing and there's samples.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's the mixture, and it's like, basically, I'd like keep people guessing as to what is what, you know, and there's definitely like we do it live, you know, we'll do the song live. And, you know, I use the live. I do have a component of the live show that is like the electronics from the record. I like to keep like a connection to the record. But like all this stuff, so much stuff was played, you know. The trumpet on that record is recorded, you know, some of it sounds really old, some of it doesn't. Then there's stuff in there that's old. I'm not going to, you know, I have my tricks. I'm not going to divulge my secrets. But, you know, the fun thing about having this, you know, access to the kind of musicians that I have access to from my days of being a sideman is that I can call on Herb Alpert, or I can call on Marcus Miller, or I can call on Les McCann. I can call on these guests that, you know, played on records 30 years ago that know how to like play a specific way, and like it's really cool, and that trust me to record them and then do things to them, make them sound like samples or make them, you know what I mean? So that's where the fun part comes with writing music like this. It's like having the connections and having the ability to understand stylistically how to write a certain way and utilize them hopefully in a tasteful way, you know.
A lot of the people you mentioned, like a Les McCann or certainly a Herb Alpert, are people that when you think of jazz, you really think of something. And a lot of people think of something kind of heady and very serious music.
Yeah.
And these are all people who made records that were hits on the radio.
Yeah.
That people danced to, that people had a good time to.
Oh, yeah.
And that seems to be an important part.
That's the main thing for me, you know, like, If you're going to make jazz music or instrumental music, you know, it's like instrumental music, everyone, oh, that's jazz. You know, it's like, well, the Meters aren't jazz. You know what I mean? Like Kool & Gang started out as an instrumental band. Earth, Wind & Fire started out as an instrumental band. You know, Les McCann and Eddie Harris sold 2 million records with Compared to What? You know what I mean? Herb Alpert, sold 200 million records, you know. You know, there's a way to make music like this where people forget that dirty word jazz. You know what I mean? Jazz isn't, you know, it's not all squeaks and squonks. It's born in brothels and juke joints. It's dance music. So I'd like to sort of walk that line between, I want the musicianship to be high, but I also want people to have a good time. You know what I mean? That's really the important thing.
We're talking with Adam Dorn, Motion Worker guest, and we're going to hear the live concert coming up in just a bit, recorded at World Cafe Live. And Adam is the son of Joel Dorn, a producer who's actually been on the cafe. Had a chance to talk to him a while ago. Did your father ever tell you anything about music, or did he just show it to you?
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough, he never really told me anything about music. He never asked me to go into music. It's, you know, there's, you know, the baseball player Mickey Mantle, his father forced him to be a baseball player. You know, my old man was just sort of like, when I was a kid, he just sort of was like, hey, you know, you're just really into this. You just saw that I was really just into it. And it wasn't because daddy worked in music. It was like, I just naturally was into music. So he never fostered it. As a matter of fact, I always give him grief about this. He actually made it harder for me in certain ways to like, I wanted to become a bass player. He's like, get a job. I'm not getting you a bass. Like, go get it. You know, I worked at Mainline Seafood. I don't even know if it's there anymore, but I had to work like cleaning out old bay season, like 30 gallon, like, you know, metal containers to save up for my first bass to learn how to, you know what I mean? Like, he definitely did not help me at all. You know, it's pretty funny, but yeah, we just had a killing record collection in the basement, and that's how I learned, you know.
How big did the end of the Moe record get? I was reading stuff that you touring in Brazil and things going really well there, was it?
Well, internationally, actually, I was touring in Brazil with John Cale. We were doing this two-man show thing, and it was totally unrelated to the Motion Workers thing. Well, it was related to it in so much as I was doing similar things, but it was his show. The key way that actually the record became popular was there are a number of factors. The main thing is that we've been really lucky with the music appealing to people and being used in films and being used in TV shows and commercials. And so we got really lucky. Currently, the song Right Now, which is the third song on the last record, End of the Moe, it's currently the theme for Lincoln Mercury. So everyone hears it and they're like, whoa, you know, like it's just on all the time, you know, and we've, you know, and I don't come to rely on it or expect the licensing to occur, but it's like the record struck a chord in the sort of like film and TV world where it's people like to use the music and couple it with their products or film. Like we have music in, like, you know, the funniest thing to me is like music in the Bourne Supremacy and then music in a mayonnaise commercial. And, you know, when you put out records yourself, when you administer your publishing yourself, when everything is DIY, when you tour a band on your own, when you pay for everything, you got to do these sorts of things. It's just being in business. Like major labels, you know, it's just the world has changed so much. It's music and putting out music is a DIY thing now. So, you know, the licensing for me is like, it's just an incredible experience to be.
Well,
honest.
I would think it's not just a financial thing. It's actually how people hear music. So,
well, yeah, it's not a financial thing at all, to be honest. It's, you know, I'm not getting on, you know, commercial radio. Nobody's getting on MTV, and, you know, MTV doesn't even exist anymore. It's like, you know, my secret prom. I don't even know what shows are on that network anymore, but music is controlled now in such a way that, you know, unless you're Jessica Simpson or Avril Lavigne, you're not getting on radio. Radio's, you know, as we know it, you know, you're real radio. We're on real radio right now. If you're listening to this show, this is actual radio. But the rest of the medium, it acts like myself, you know, people are like, oh, well, how can you do this licensing? And it's like, how can I do it? People have to hear the music somehow, you know? I think it's kind of shrewd, you know, it's a smart move, but... yeah, music as we know it is totally different than even 10 years ago.
Well, yeah. Tell you what, let's get to the stage and let people hear a live version of Chicka Boom Boom Boom. And, come on. Okay, where have they heard this?
Yeah. Chicka Boom?
Yeah.
Oh, man. They've heard it in 13 Going on 30, like the Jennifer Garner film, Kia car commercial, mayonnaise commercial for Kraft, 6 Feet Under. Where else is Chicka Boom? I'm like forgetting. You know what I mean? Like Chicka Boom it's been around.
But not this version.
No.
Live on the World Cafe. Thank you.
to go pole.
Next song we're going to do is a song called Olé Baby, and it's also going to feature Ollie one more time. So basically on the album, Olé Baby is like if Tito Puente and Machito meet me in an alley and we get in a fist fight. And I know that makes no sense, but in my mind, that just makes like a lot of sense.
Version. Give it up for Ollie Rockburger. All right. So now we come to the final countdown. This is the first song on the record. It's called Shake Your Book. Think of Cab Calloway meets me in a fist fight.
Shake Your Boogie, that's Motion Worker, live on stage at World Cafe Live.
Thanks so much, guys.
Their new album is called Senko de Mowo, and our thanks to Adam Dorn and company for not only playing live, but for talking with us as well. Coming up, another live track recorded live at the World Cafe from LCD Sound System. We get right back here to the World Cafe.